WTSN AM 1270 proudly presents Open Mic with Mike Pump.
Stand by.
Your calls are welcome at 603-742-1270 or toll free 888-441-WTSN. Now, here's your host, Mike Pump.
Good morning, St. Louis. Welcome to another edition of WTSN's Open Mic. We are glad that you're with us on this Tuesday. It is October 6, 2009, and thanks for sharing part of your Tuesday morning with us here on WTSN and streaming live on the web at WTSNAM1270.com. Lines are open for you today. Our phone lines are open at 742-1270. That's area code 603. And toll-free on the exchange if you're outside the local dialing area, it's 1-888-441-WTSN. That's 1-888-441-9876. We speak to Joy Feldman today. She joins us from Providence, Rhode Island. And as we continue to talk to Joy today, we're going to log on to her website, joyfeldman.com. She is a nutritional consultant, and she will be speaking tomorrow night as part of the Frisbee Memorial Hospital Lecture Series tomorrow between 6 and 8 in Rochester. It's the Frisbee Memorial Hospital Women's Health Community Lecture Series, and she'll be coming to the Seacoast area. And we say good morning to Joy Feldman. Joy, good morning. Welcome to Open Mic here on WTSN. Hi there.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. So you're getting excited about coming up to the area tomorrow and speaking to some folks, I guess, right?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. And I just want to add something in. If people are interested in coming, they do need to reserve a reservation. And can I just give you that information?
You sure can, absolutely.
Okay, if you're interested in attending, it is free of charge, and you need to call area code 603-330-8986.
All right.
All right.
And that is between 6 and 8 tomorrow, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And that'll be at the Community Education and Conference Center, which is located at Frisbee Memorial Hospital. And as Joy mentioned, all events are free of charge, but registration is required. So it's 603-330-8986 for more information or to register. And we'll tell you more about some of the upcoming speakers. But Joy Feldman joins us. She is a nutritional consultant. And from what I understand, you used to be a lawyer, right?
Yes, I was a lawyer in my previous life, I always say.
In your previous life.
In my previous life. Back in the, I guess it was the late 80s, I practiced mergers and acquisitions in a big international law firm. And I worked way too many hours every week. I did some SEC filings as well. But the work was intense and long, and back then I thought, you know, drinking diet soda and eating fast food, and my favorite was chocolate M&Ms.
Oh, you know, you just hit a chord with me, because that is my favorite chocolate, by the way. Yeah, I'm addicted to that stuff.
Yeah, and it's small, so you don't think it's so bad. You know, you just keep taking little bites. And I never really put together that what I was eating was affecting my health. And I didn't particularly enjoy what I was doing. And I stopped working, and I had my first child. And after I gave birth, I was quite ill. About 3 to 4 months after I had my son, I couldn't get vertical. I used to crawl on my hands and knees.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah, it was bad. My joints were all swollen, and my husband's an orthopedic surgeon, and he was in his residency at the time, and he took me into the hospital, and all these doctors looked at me, and they couldn't quite figure out what was wrong. They finally came up with the fact that I had some kind of autoimmune disease, and they weren't sure if it was lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, and then they came up with a name called Rupus. But they really never could pinpoint what I had.
What were some of the other symptoms?
Well, I had overwhelming exhaustion. There were some days I had to just put my son in the crib because I had to go to sleep midday. The fatigue was overwhelming. My hands would swell. My knees. My hips were so locked up. I'm telling you, I couldn't walk. But those were the main symptoms. Was just this complete inflammation in my body.
And what do you think it was a result of?
Well, I think it was the life I led. I worked probably close to, you know, 60 to 70 hours of in a week. I didn't take care of my health. I didn't eat well. I was a vegetarian. I thought that was, you know, what was best from everything I had read. I wasn't taking care of my body, and I think my body just really, you know, fell apart. Stress and not eating well and not getting enough rest. I think of those ingredients that kind of, you know, push you over the edge for your health.
So perpetual fatigue, a lot of pain, constantly feeling unwell.
Yes.
And so you pretty much were told that, I guess, you had to sort of live with this illness.
Correct. I was told this is how it was going to be, and I was medicated, which didn't help. It made me worse, and I just, you know, I felt terrible. My hair was falling out towards the end from all the medication I was on, and, you know, I couldn't get out of my own way. It was really the truth, and we had full-time live-in help. Because I couldn't take care of my own child. It was that bad.
Wow. So the doctors did not give you much encouragement as to what to do or how to control this?
No. And I did try all kinds of alternative, you know, methods of healing. And they helped a little bit. I did a little bit of juice fasting. I had read that might help. I did a little bit of acupuncture, which helped a little bit. But it wasn't quite putting me, you know, into this healing place. And my husband had finished his residency. And we had to move to Arizona for him to do his fellowship. And I just remember the day I looked at him and I said, I cannot spend my life like this. I have to find some way to get well. And, you know, life happens, I think, in very interesting and mysterious ways. And one day I just sat down at the phone and I called the School of Massage out in Arizona. And I asked them to send me somebody who had a kind of a holistic attitude. Now, mind you, I came from a very traditional background. My husband's a physician. I had been a lawyer. You know, I always was interested in health, but I was skeptical, and I was desperate, to be honest. I didn't know what to do. But I had this little boy who was adorable, and I knew I wasn't going to spend my life sick. So they sent me a woman to my house who was very holistic. When I laid down on the table for some body work, she started to chant. And I just thought, this is not going to help me. But I figured, you know, I'll try anything. And at the end of the session, she said to me, Joy, I have somebody to help you. And I was a little bit nervous because this was, you know, she was a little bit, you know, different than I had anticipated. But I figured, you know, I'll give it a try. And she went on to tell me a story about her own daughter, who had been born with a very severe chromosomal abnormality. And she'd been helped by this physician. And by the way, her daughter, when she was 14, went to Arizona State University to study heliotropism. The girl was severely, severely handicapped, but brilliant. And she's still alive. And from what I understood from the story, she wasn't supposed to live, you know, her entire life.
Wow.
So anyway, off I went to see this doctor who no longer practices medicine. All he does is nutritional counseling.
Okay.
So I went and I had a visit with him, and he does hair tissue mineral analysis. And the entire program is called nutritional balancing, which I'll get into in a few minutes.
Sure, yeah.
With you. So he clipped my hair, sent it off to a lab out in Arizona, and when the results came in, we sat down, he put me back on meat, and, you know, we tried to do as many organic vegetables as I could possibly eat, and some healthy grains, no wheat. And I started to get better. Oh, and also lots of supplements and, you know, all kinds of detox protocols I did. And within 6 weeks, my abnormal blood work with elevated ANAs and elevated anti-DNAs, everything stabilized. My rheumatologist looked at me. He goes, Joy, get out of here. Whatever you're doing, go keep doing it. So I did. And I certainly wasn't perfect. And I want people to know, I mean, I wasn't perfect in 6 weeks by any means. I was just on the road to healing. And I'd say it was a good year for me to fully recover my health and my energy.
Right,
but
sure.
It got better.
Wow.
So we moved back to Rhode Island. My husband got a job here, and I stayed home raising my children all these years. you know, working in between tutoring, and that little boy I was telling you about is now in college, and I knew I had to go out and do something with my life. I have a daughter at home, but she's older now, and I always have had this passion for nutrition. My family has been following this program for 17 years. I've been living this program. And I thought, you know, I'd love people to learn more about this. So back to school I went, working on my master's in holistic nutrition. And the doctor who turned my health around is the gentleman who is my personal mentor. And he works with me day in and day out, teaching me, educating me. And I got a degree in nutritional balancing science and an advanced degree, and soon to be an instructor as well in nutritional balancing.
That's great. It's a very compelling story. It's a great one.
Thank you.
And you know, I want to let our listeners know as well that based on, you know, on your own personal health triumph and your desire to help others, you have authored this brand new book, which came out this year, called Joyful Cooking in Pursuit of Good Health.
Yes.
And it's out now.
Yeah, and I have to just add in that that really was inspired by all my clients. They were all asking me to please put a book together. It was not something I had ever really thought about doing. So I just wanted to add that in.
Yeah, it's great because you really, you took this upon yourself to get back to great health, and you did it through the nutritional way, and you were looking at your lifestyle at the time, whether it was stress or eating habits or whatever it might have been, and you decided to change it. You were told that, well, this is the way it's going to be. You don't have to live with this pain and this exhaustion. And you said, no way, I'm not doing this.
No, and a little personal responsibility, you know. And I think that goes a long way, especially today in our healthcare climate. I mean, I think we all need to kind of step back and look at what we can do for ourselves so that we can heal and have the best health that we could have.
Yeah, I mean, we're all looking for, I mean, at least we should be trying to look for this, this optimal health, as you call it, the pursuit of good health. And you have found some sort of a formula, a little bit of what you've gone through to make yourself healthier, and you've trying to pass this along on now to people to be healthier. I mean, because obviously, you know what they say, you know, say if you don't have your health, you have nothing, you know.
That's the truth.
And it really is the truth, and especially as you get older. I mean, you know, when you're young, you know, anything could happen to you, you feel fine, you'll bounce back. But, you know, if you're not taking care of yourself through the years, you know, I'm part of the baby boomers, so I'm in my 50s now. We're all approaching 60, the baby boomers. So many of them have turned 60. And, you know, some of us are in better health than others because of some of the decisions we've made over the course of our 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Yes, I agree with you. And, and just to add on to what you're saying, it's essential that we start with children that are young, building their bodies when they're little infants. Because that really, I mean, children are undergoing a major construction project in their bodies daily. I mean, they're laying out, you know, their framework for life. So if we get kids when they're little and we could steer them away from poor food choices, I think they've got a much better shot at good health down the road.
We're speaking to Joy Feldman, who will be speaking tomorrow night at the Frisbee Memorial Hospital in Rochester. It's the Women's Lecture Series. And that is going to be tomorrow from 6 to 8, and the event's going to be held at the Community Education and Conference Center at Frisbee Memorial Hospital. The event is free of charge, but you need to register, and you can call to register at 603-330-8986, and you can find out more about Joy by logging on to joyfeldman.com. You very much believe in changing one's lifestyle or modifying our lifestyles. What's, you know, when you look back at the clients that you've had and what you've gone through personally, what's the one thing that we really screw up on?
Well, I think there's a few things. One thing is I think there's a tremendous amount of confusion out there. Some of my clients are trying very hard to find the right foods. You know, every day on the news, it's another story. We don't know. Should we eat soy? Should we not eat soy? Should we eat low fat? Should we be eating full fat? One thing I see constantly is a tremendous amount of confusion. People really don't know what they should and should not be eating. That's one.
Well, you know, I agree with you there because I've been on this kick over the last few years to buy low-fat, non-fat stuff.
No.
Okay, well then point me to the right way.
Yeah, you know, actually, as a nation, we got fatter and sicker eating low-fat, non-fat food. The statistics are unbelievable. All these studies that have come out about low-fat and non-fat are not supporting, you know, the reduction of cancer and arthritis and all these diseases. What I think where people are making their biggest mistake is that they're overloading on carbohydrates, eating too much fast food, too much processed food, too much chemical-laden foods, foods with additives, foods with, you know, preservatives. You know, reading labels on food boxes today is like reading an organic chemistry textbook.
It is. We can't
pronounce them. We don't know what they mean, what they say. Stay away from these invented, edible-like foods. Do not eat them. The body doesn't know what to do with these foods.
So talk a little bit about, you know, this whole campaign to take fat out of your diet. Obviously, you need some fat, correct?
Of course, you need healthy fats, and I think this is where everybody got all mixed up. and unfortunately, I think that, you know, the nutritional scientists, everybody's trying their best to kind of find this answer. And I don't think there's one thing. You know, we need to look at the whole food product. We need some fat in the diet. It's important, you know, for development of the body, for the brain, for cellular structure. I mean, we need it to grow and to be healthy, for hormone regulation. We don't want to overdo, you know, the bad fats, trans fats, hydrogenated fats. We want to try to go towards the healthy fats, such as flax oil, hemp oil, which are high in the omega-3s. You know, butter is not a bad word. It's a natural food. It's got vitamins in it. It's got some healthy fat. Now, I don't want you to sit down and eat a whole stick of it, but a little bit of butter is okay. You know, I'm trying to think what else. Olive oil, another good fat.
Yeah, what else is a little bit good for us?
In terms of fats or other foods?
Fats.
I would say, you know, nut butters are wonderful too. Almond butter, cashew butter, sunflower butter, eggs. You know, and please, I urge people, eat the whole egg. Obviously not the shell.
Now we've gotten misinformation. Well, I won't say misinformation because I'm not sure what's...
I'm going
to listen to your side of the story as well. But we've been told over the years that, you know...
I know.
You know, just eat the yolks or what, you know...
Right, just eat the egg whites.
Yeah, the egg whites, right.
No, the yellow part, the yolks have some very important food properties in them. And actually, besides that they have healthy fats in there, there's a compound that actually lowers cholesterol. And from what I've read, and you know, the research out there is all confusing as well, the study they had done on eggs, you know, that made everybody get frightened was done on powdered eggs. It wasn't even done on real eggs.
I didn't realize that.
That's what I've read. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about diets. And what are the real key things that we need to have in our diets that they can just, you know, create more of a healthy lifestyle?
Yeah. And on a general scale, I tell people loads of wonderfully organic, locally raised vegetables would be great. And we can talk a little bit more about local farming as well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm a big fan of naturally raised, grass-fed meats. I like people to try to get to know their farmer. If they live in a place where they have access to that, would be wonderful. Eggs are a wonderful food, nut butters. I do steer people away from peanut butter, not because it's horrible or anything, but I find a lot of people are very sensitive. Peanuts can have a lot of mold in them, but it's still a very good food. People have to kind of see if they're...
Is peanut butter, Joy, not really good for you? Or?
Well, it's not that it's... Well, you have to first look at the label. Some of them are filled with, you know, sugar and trans fat. If you can get a natural peanut butter, it's fine. I just ask my clients just to pay attention to how they feel after they eat it. Some people don't tolerate it well. It's just one of those foods to just make sure you're not too sensitive to.
Okay.
Other great foods... The grains I ask people to eat are brown rice, quinoa, and a lot of people don't know what that is, but that's a wonderful grain. It kind of looks like a seed. They're small, very high in protein and lots of wonderful minerals in it. Millet is another wonderful good grain. I steer people away from wheat today because it's been hybridized, and it's been kind of depleted a lot of its wonderful minerals that were once in it. I find a lot of my clients have reactions to wheat, so I'd steer people away from that. Even the organic wheat today just isn't a quality food like it once was many years ago.
What about breads? We hear so much about breads, about, you know, the multigrain breads, wheat bread. I mean, I used to be, as a kid, I ate white bread, Wonder Bread all the time. And that was the only thing that was out there at the time when I was a kid. Then they said wheat was better. Now multigrains are better, more fiber. So as far as the breads go, what, you know...
Well,
I love bagels, but I know what they're I know what you're gonna say.
I know
what you're gonna say. I'm a bad guy.
No, not a great choice. I actually would steer you away, even from the wheat. The multigrain is better because there's not as much wheat in it.
Yeah.
I actually steer people. One of my favorite foods is a brown rice tortilla. It's very tasty. They're delicious. Corn tortillas are good. They do sell a whole line now of gluten-free breads and rice breads. And, you know, even 100% rye bread is wonderful. Not always easy to find, to be honest.
Well, what about these multigrain breads? Are they okay for you?
They're okay. Look at your labels. It has wheat in it. That's the problem. And a lot of people have inflammatory reactions to wheat. They don't fare well on it. But, you know, you have to look at your labels today, and this is frightening. If you go into a supermarket and you start to read the labels on bread, there's more than 3 or 4 ingredients. Sometimes there's 16 to 20, and you can't even pronounce most of those words that they're putting into bread. So that, you know, kind of opens up the door to a whole nother topic. I mean, what kind of bread are you eating? Where are you getting it from?
Does it matter if you buy, you see a lot of packaged bread, you see like, I'll make this up, hamburger rolls or hot dog rolls, it says light bread, I mean, does that mean anything, or is that just a waste?
Well, I think it's a waste.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep people away from that. For dinner, I'd rather people have, you know, maybe a nice grass-fed hamburger or turkey burger, a half a plate of steamed or roasted vegetables. Steaming's my first choice. And, you know, maybe a sweet potato with it. I try to keep people away from the processed products out there.
Yeah. You mentioned nutritional balancing at the start of our interview. Let me just tell people that we're speaking to Joy Feldman. She's a nutritional consultant, and her book is out now. It's a brand new book called Joyful Cooking in Pursuit of Good Health. She's gone from the legal field to the nutritional field. She really has become an expert in this, and she has created more of a healthy lifestyle. Her image is to get people to be in pursuit of good health, really.
Yeah, I really believe people don't have to be sick today. And that's really my message. I want people to know they don't have to be ill. If they're willing to make a commitment to their health and take some personal responsibility for their well-being, you don't have to walk around feeling fatigued and exhausted and lousy.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about what you call nutritional balancing. Talk a little bit about what that is and how we achieve that.
Sure. Nutritional balancing science is basically a holistic program that looks to bring the body into a sense of a dynamic equilibrium, if you will, balance. In traditional medicine, a diagnosis is usually made and a prescription is given. But in this health paradigm, we focus instead on the body's ability to heal itself, because it can. Ill health, the way we view this, is really the result of an imbalance of the body's natural healing capabilities. So self-healing is possible, and we get self-healing by helping the body get energy. That's the body's purpose. We're energy-producing machines. So nutritional balancing sciences uses a synthesis of many different sciences. We include pathology, physiology, nutrition, biochemistry, and stress theory. And all of those as an incorporation help lay the framework for nutritional balancing. And what we incorporate into nutritional balancing is hair tissue mineral analysis, food, supplements, and lifestyle changes.
So the hair tissue mineral analysis, I mean, it sounds very scientific, very complicated, but...
And it's not.
what will it tell you? It'll just tell you the makeup of your body?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Actually, it's And, you know, I want to be careful. It's a little biopsy, and I don't want people to get frightened and think, oh, my God, you have to go, you know, in for surgery.
Yeah, right.
No, it's simple. All you do is really take a pair of scissors, and it has to be done properly. We cut the hair as close to the scalp as we can get, and we only take the top 1 inch, and we discard the distal end of the hair. And you just use that top 1 inch, and it's sent off to the lab, and from that simple little test, we can assess the stress response in the body. It measures for 21 minerals and toxic metals. It does all kinds of things. We can kind of look at the immune system and see how it's functioning. We could see carbohydrate tolerance in the body. Also, it does a whole screening for heavy metals. And the EPA, you know, has come out and supports this, that it's one of the most accurate ways to test for heavy metals in people.
Now, is this something kind of new, or has this been around for a while?
Well, you know, it's been around. It depends on how you look at it. Some people might consider it new because it's been around for 30 years, but it's been around for the past 30 years. But, you know, some people say, oh, that's not really that long.
Interesting.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned the campaigns to get on low-fat and non-fat food,
yes,
that they were supposed to help cut back on cancer and other type of things.
Right.
And you have said that really has not proven to be the fact. Are there certain foods? We hear a lot about,
yes,
the green leafy vegetables. If you eat enough of those, or you have enough of that in your diet, I mean, can that help prevent some type of disease? I hear a lot about that, those type of, broccoli, asparagus, spinach, things like that, which are really good for you.
Yeah, and I want to answer that question because it's very important, but it also is going to relate to how this program works food as well, so people understand.
Okay.
The things you just mentioned are great because this is what we've done as a society. We think, oh, we have to eat this one or two vegetables, and this is our answer to protect cancer. I think we've all, as a culture, we've lost our dietary sense. You know, we've forgotten, you know, we need to eat whole foods. We need to rotate our foods. We need to eat what's good for our individual biochemistry. And this is why I love hair tissue mineral analysis, because from the chart, I can see and plan an individualized program based on your own biochemistry. We're all unique people. You're different than me. You'll have a different biochemistry. And based on that biochemistry, we have to give the body the right foods to trigger energy and to trigger healing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay.
We're speaking to Joy Feldman for just a couple more moments. She's a nutritional consultant. Her book is called Joyful Cooking and the Pursuit of Good Health. But she'll be here in the Seacoast area tomorrow night between 6 and 8 in Rochester at the Frisbee Memorial Hospital. She's going to be speaking at the Women's Health Community Lecture Series. And I'm assuming you'll be talking a lot about some of the things we're talking about this morning, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The event will be held at the Community Education and Conference Center, which is at the Frisbee Memorial Hospital. It is free of charge to go to that event, but they want you to register. And you can register by calling 603-330-8986, 330-8986. You know, you mentioned diet, and in the book, obviously, as one of the biggest tools we could have to keep healthy and in this pursuit of good health, as you say. I mean, how regimented do we have to be, in keeping this diet? I mean, do you allow for us to have a little bit of fast food, a little bit of junk food once in a while?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I get asked that quite a bit. I want people to look at this as their lifestyle. This isn't a fad. It's not a gimmick. It's not a magic bullet. It's the way to live. And, yeah, you know, occasionally you want to have something, go ahead and have it. But really, I can't recommend it because all that fast food and that junk food, it damages your body. It damages your cellular structure. So, you know, listen, we all get into binds and we don't have a choice. You're on the road sometimes. Yeah, once in a while it isn't going to harm you, but it just shouldn't be part of your daily routine.
Right, shouldn't be an everyday thing, really.
No.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because a lot of people are so hooked on this, you know, because this is the way our society is, the fast pace of our lives, working,
yes,
more than one job,
yep,
not really home to make the meals. I mean, the family doesn't sit down for meals, yep, like they used to, I guess, because everyone's all over the place.
Yep, and I, you know, I don't know, and if you know a way, please share it with me. I don't know how we bypass the kitchen today. We have got to get back inside, and I'm not asking anyone to do labor-intensive cooking here. My program, it's simple. It's simple prep. It's simple cooking, simple food, simple lifestyle. But if you can take back the control of your food and get into your kitchen and steam your vegetables and broil your meats or grill them, you know what you're putting into your body, and you know that in your meat or in your vegetable, hopefully if it's organic, that it's not loaded with, you know, all those words we can't pronounce that are on the side of a food box.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I guess you have to enjoy cooking a little bit too. I mean, if it becomes a real labor of work, I mean, then you're not going to do it.
And I'm not asking anybody to go and add 16 different ingredients into their food. If you look in my cookbook, the recipes are simple. Sometimes just 3 and 4 ingredients. You know, crock pot's a great option for people who work all day. An electric steamer, fabulous. Oh, my goodness. You can put a whole meal in a steamer, and it's ready, you know, in under 20, 30 minutes.
Steaming vegetables, is that the best way to get all the nutrients?
I believe so. From all the research I've done, they found now, and here's another one of those confusing facts, now they're finding when you steam your vegetables or roast them or bake them, that you're actually opening up the fibers, the body's better able to absorb the minerals, and you get a greater absorption of antioxidants.
Oh, very interesting. I
didn't
know that. Yeah,
yeah, I know, because a lot of the raw food, you know, you hear, but this is the recent research that's out that cooking your vegetables actually allows the body to absorb more antioxidants and minerals.
I remember the campaigns many, many years ago, and then the American Meat Association got back on the air with more commercials. You know, people were saying, don't eat meat, don't eat meat, don't have a steak, don't have a burger, you know, like that.
I mean,
stuff like that, I mean, everything's in moderation,
I guess. And we do need to have some meat, you know, chicken, turkey, you know, wild game is fabulous, too. And people don't know about that. Lamb, you know, bison, wild meat is good because they're eating actual, you know, grass. They're not being fed, you know, all this.
Yeah.
You know,
what you say, Joy, is very interesting because, you know, we've always been heard that if you're like a vegetarian and don't eat meat, that's the healthier lifestyle.
But then
the vegetarians are losing out on some of the stuff that you're talking about.
Well, I was a vegetarian, and I got good and sick being one, and I honestly was not a perfect vegetarian. I didn't mix all my foods properly, but I do believe we need a moderate, you know, a small amount of protein with every meal. I'm not telling people to sit down and have 16 ounces of steak. You know, 3, 4, 5 ounces of a meat, we need. Protein's important for building the body.
What foods are good for protein?
Well, I like the lean, you know, either the lean turkey or chicken, or the dark meat on the chicken and turkey as well is great as well. Grass-fed beef is a nice option. Lamb is a wonderful option. You know, and the wild game, you know, Cornish hens, you know, anything that's running around free out there is a little bit better than, you know, the feedlots, which one day we'll get into a conversation on. But this is one of the reasons I truly support local farming. I'm a big fan of farmers markets. The slow food movement, again, you know, we're taking a minute to step back and, you know, think about where our food is coming from.
Right. Good point. Very good point. Hey, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Okay.
Joy Feldman joining us this morning. Her book is called In the Pursuit of Good Health, Joyful Cooking, and she'll be at the Frisbee Memorial Hospital, the Women's Health Community Lecture Series tomorrow evening. Between 6 and 8, you can register for the lecture and the talk tomorrow. It'd be great to meet her. 603-330-8986, and you can log on to joyfeldman.com, find out more about the book and find out more about what she does. She is a nutritional consultant. Used to be a lawyer, but now a nutritional consultant. And we're glad that you're in good health and happy and everything else. And
thanks
for passing on the expertise that you have on this, because it is kind of interesting. And you're right. It's all about getting the right information as well.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you, Joy. Pleasure talking to you. Thank you for joining us here this morning on WTSN. Appreciate it.
Thank you.